This morning, I want to talk about the lessons from Jesus washing the feet of his disciples. It seems to us that what Jesus did was bizarre and distasteful. But in those days, foot washing was what you did when somebody came to your house. The roads in Palestine were dry and dusty, except when it rained, and then they turned into a quagmire of mud. So even if your feet were clean when you began your journey, by the time you got wherever you were going, your feet would be covered with dust and dirt and grime and grit and whatever else happened to be laying out on the path. They had lots of cattle and sheep, you know. The practice in those days was that you entered a house, you would be greeted with a kiss on the cheek, and you would be offered oil to rub on your face. And then a servant would kneel down, would take off your sandals and wash your feet. This was the practice. And they still do that today. When I was in the Holy Land and visited a couple of houses, there was a bowl of water just inside. But what was not common was for the host or the master of the house to wash the feet of his guest. Foot washing was the work of slaves. A rich man never had to wash anybody's feet because he had enough servants to cleanse the feet of anybody who came to see him. So, when Jesus washed the feet of his disciples, they were amazed. No wonder Peter said, "You will not wash my feet." He broke the accepted rules, and that's why the disciples were so upset and shocked. Not that somebody would wash your feet, but that it was Jesus was doing it. That violated all customs of the day. So let me ask you something. Have you ever tried to wash somebody's feet at the end of a long, hard day? Thank goodness for showers, eh? Feet that are covered with grime and perspiration. Feet that don't smell good. I'm sure it is unpleasant, to say the least. But here's the deal. Foot washing is an act and a symbol of servanthood. That is why the disciples said, "Jesus, you're not going to wash my feet because you are not a servant." In the gospel reading, we heard Peter object to Jesus washing his feet. "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." In Peter's mind, and in the mind of the other disciples, what Jesus was doing was demeaning. "You are the Messiah. You cannot get that low." You just didn't do that. That was slave work. What bothered them was not what he was doing, is that he was doing it. Foot washing was okay as long as a person of lower class or lower position did it. But to see the Son of God do it, that was a problem, and Jesus was acting as a servant and not a master. You see, everybody has dirty feet. That's one good thing about foot washing. Everybody around you has dirty feet. And it's a bit frightening to realize that underneath the exterior, we all have dirty feet. Now, I know you took showers this morning. Okay? And we all have weaknesses. Some of us have sores or scars and sin. Jesus came to a world of dirty feet. He came to clean those dirty feet, which means, now listen to this, which means he came for you because you have dirty feet. As our gospel today tells us, when Jesus had finished washing the disciples' feet, he asked, "Now, you guys, do you understand what I have done for you? Are you comprehending that this is something more than just cleaning dirt off your pinky toes?" In washing their feet, he was giving them a hands-on parable and acted out object lessons. And he wanted to make sure that they caught that lesson. He wanted to make sure they understood why the Messiah, why the Master, was lowering himself so much to wash their feet. He wanted them to understand that he was sent here as a servant. That's the message here this morning. He was saying to them that this is who I am. This is why I have come to earth. This explains the cross. I came as a servant to cleanse dirty feet. So the answer to his question is, do you understand? They didn't understand, and often we don't understand. So often we think of Jesus Christ as the Messiah. So often we think of him as the Master, and rightfully so. But seldom do we think of him as the servant that came to cleanse us of our sin. So like any good teacher, he goes ahead and he gives them the truth. He gives them the command and he tells them the promise. So in verse 13, we hear the truth. And that was, you call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so. So for that, that is what I am. But in verse 15, we hear his command. I have set you an example that you should do, listen to this, that you should do as I have done for you. In verse 17, we hear the promise. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. Did you ever think of it that way? Now, I know that you're not going to go out and wash the feet of every person you meet on the street. As we know, Jesus spoke in parables. And this is one of the great ones. If we are to do what Jesus commanded, we must be servants. We are not holier than thou because we're Christians. We are not holier than thou because we go to church. We are not holier than thou because we feed the hungry or house the homeless. We do all of these things because we are servants, just as Jesus taught us and commanded us to be. Now, if we are to do what Jesus commanded, then we must be servants. But how can you be a servant, you asked? There are lots of ways. And I dare bet that if we just knelt in prayer and asked Jesus Christ to show us how to be a servant, he would do it. Being a servant is an attitude. Being a servant is not an action. Now, did you think about that? Let me explain that. So many of us think, tell me what I need to do if I'm going to be a servant. Being a servant does not start with what you do. Being a servant starts with the attitude of the heart. Servants come in all sizes and all shapes and all colors. Servants are some of the most ordinary people in the world. Think about Gandhi and Martin Luther King and Mother Teresa. They may be short, they may be fat, or they may be tall and skinny. Someone you pass on the street don't even notice. They lived unremarkable, ordinary lives. Anyone can be a servant if they have a servant's heart. Just doing isn't being a servant. It's being a doer. What is it that makes a difference between being a servant and not being a servant? Is it visiting a nursing home? Is it baking bread for those who are sick? Is it giving money to those who are needed? Now, you would think that all of these things that I just mentioned, plus more and more and more, makes you a servant. Yeah, it makes you a doer. Because you can visit a nursing home with a servant's heart, or you can do it out of sheer sense of obligation. Servants don't have a sense of obligation. Servants have a servant heart, an attitude. You can bake bread because you want to serve buddy, or you can do it because you want to win favor and have them praise you. Oh, you're such a nice lady. You make that bread for me. Your homemade bread is the best in the whole wide world. I am so glad, and you can bring more whenever you want, and you walk out the door with your head about this big. That's not a servant's heart. Oh, it's wonderful to hear these praises. I tell you over and over and over when you give me a compliment, oh, what a great message. It's like putting fuel back in the tank. And I love to hear them. I don't love to hear it was a bad message, but I want to. Because you can't break or fix something if you don't know it's broke. But you see where I'm getting to here? This isn't about patting myself on the back. This isn't about bringing homemade bread and then telling your best friend at coffee, you know what I did yesterday? I brought a loaf of bread to Joe Blow. Or you can do these things because you want to win favor and have them praise you. You can give money because you really want to share your gift, or you can give money out of pity or in superiority. The same action can be the action of a servant or the action of a proud person. What makes the difference is the motivation inside of your heart. Some people find it easier to be a servant than other people. But Jesus commanded all of us to be servants. Rather, we find it easy or we find it difficult. Now, you heard me tell the story, I think maybe a couple of times, where Jim and I and one other fellow went through the community, business community, asking if we could come in and pray for them. And it was really, really hard for me. So I did exactly what Jesus didn't want me to do, and that was quit. I thought I was being a servant. I thought I was following his command, but I wasn't. I was following my command. I didn't bother to search my heart. This thing, you've heard me say this again and again and again. Well, I can't do it. It's just too hard because I'm too old. Baloney. That is not being a servant. We must acknowledge that there is such a thing as a spiritual gift of service. There are those people inside the body of Christ who are especially gifted by God at serving others. In Romans 12, verse 7, it says, if your gift is service, let him serve. The other part is that all believers, rather than have the gift or not, are commanded to serve one another. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 13, it says this, you therefore have been set free, but do not use your freedom as an excuse to indulge the flesh, but rather serve one another in love. So, rather you find it easy or difficult to be a servant, it is still commanded that you act with a servant's heart. Now, we all like to do things that are easy. And we all shy away from the things that are hard. But Jesus didn't say, be a servant if it's easy for you. If it's not, go find something else. That's not what he said. He commanded. He didn't request. He didn't suggest. He commanded that we be servants. And you know what else he said? Not in our scripture this morning. If it's difficult for you, call on me and I will lead you through. I will help you. I will make it so you don't feel like it's difficult. We can't be a servant without Jesus by our side. That's why God sends the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ was the ultimate servant for the people of God. And there are two verses we should engrave on our hearts. And the first is in the book of Mark, chapter 10, verse 45. And it reads this, for the Son of Man cannot be served but to serve. The second is in Philippians 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Jesus Christ. What that's saying is for us to be like Jesus. And we just learned this morning that Jesus, among many, many, many other things, was also a servant and continues to be. So who was Jesus? Why did he come? Well, like I just said, he was a servant, and he came to serve. And by his serving, listen to this now, by his serving, we are saved. A servant's heart is why we are saved. Among all the things that Jesus was, he had a servant's heart. He saw a need and he moved to meet it. He took the initiative. He took off his robe of greatness and got down on his knees. He didn't announce what he was going to do. He just did it. He didn't wait. He didn't wait for a thank you. And he didn't get one either. This is what servants do. This is what a servant does. He sees the need and he moves to meet it. And servanthood begins with an attitude of the heart. How many of us are looking for a need, for the need that somebody has? Or like in one other parable, do we just cross the street and walk on the other side so we don't have to be faced with this problem that this person has? Or do we stay on the same side of the street and meet it head on with a servant's heart? Remember from today's gospel, now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. Let's pray. Lord Jesus,